You can open your Bibles to Luke 8. It's very, very glad to be able to worship with you. And I'm also very glad that I can serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which is not simply one God among many, but He is the God of gods, the only true God. And I'm so grateful that the only true God is such a wise and gracious and caring God, and that He cares about me and all of us. And I'm so grateful that He gives us, He tells us how to live. And it's so wonderful to be able to live that way. It is not bondage, it's freedom. And I want to embrace the truths that He gives to us into my life more and more. Oh, to be like Him. And so it's a privilege to be able to serve Him, and it's a privilege to be able to be with others who are pursuing Him. We want to start with reading from Luke 8. I want to read this familiar account in Luke 8, verse 40 through 50. And I'll read these verses at this time. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, and the people gladly received Him, for they were all waiting for Him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought Him that He would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, "Thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master." But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Oh, what an account, full of emotion, as we have Jesus, the Son of God, dwelling among men and living among the neediness of men, the neediness of mankind. And only if only our eyes could be open to how needy we are. And Jesus understood that. And there were two individuals in this passage that were understanding in a very critical way their neediness. And one of them was Jairus. He was a ruler of the synagogue, and he was not necessarily one who would tend to be friendly with Jesus, because the rulers of the synagogue were more attacking him and trying to discredit him. But Jairus had a problem that the other Pharisees and the other rulers couldn't solve. And he had a daughter, one only daughter, it says. And she was dying there. And he had this desperate need. And he finally put aside his dignity. And he put aside his standing in the community. And he reached out to this man from Nazareth. How could a man from Nazareth be the answer to his problems? But he laid that all aside, and he reached out to this man from Nazareth, and he says, come to my house. My daughter's dying right there in front of everybody. The needs that well up in our lives that are there, they're hidden. They're around behind us, and after sometimes they just become great, and we say, oh, my needs are great, because they are. And then we need to go to the Master. There is that other individual in the account, and that's the one we want to look at. It was that woman who had this issue of blood for 12 years. I don't know much about what that was like, but she had this deed that she had been dealing with unsuccessfully for 12 years. She had spent all of her living. It suggests that she had some living. She was probably a woman of some wealth at one time, but it was all gone. It was all gone, and she was as sick as when she started. And she lived in this condition where she was, she was unclean. She was unclean. And in Leviticus, it says this, in Leviticus 15, verse 25, and if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. Every bed whereon she lieth, all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation, and whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. And whosoever toucheth these things shall be unclean, and shall wash his clothes and bathe himself in water and be unclean until the even. And so she was living in this continual state of uncleanness, where whatever she sat upon, whatever she touched, and I say this in a general way, I don't know the specifics, and if anyone touched her, they became unclean, and she was living in this separation from people. Remember the people with leprosy, they cried out, unclean, unclean, so you wouldn't come near to them. And I suppose her life was somewhat like that, maybe very much like that. I don't know exactly what the condition was here, but she was unclean, and no one could just readily touch her, or she could not just easily touch somebody else, or they would become unclean. And it was not a very nice condition at all to be in, health wise and uncleanness wise, but that's what her condition was, and she could not find relief from this condition. And then she heard about Jesus, and she looked to Jesus, and she decided, I'm going to find Jesus, and she went out of her house. And I don't know if it was in her town or not, because the people in her town would have known who she was. Maybe she went to another town, and she went into the crowd. She shouldn't go into a crowd. And she made her way. I don't know how healthy she was, but she made her way, and she had to bustle her way in. They were crowded around. They were just real crowded around Jesus. And she reached out, and she touched the hem of his garment, the border of his garment, and just like that, she knew that the one who had she had looked to and had she believed that if she touched that garment, she would be clean. And she was healed. And then, of course, she disappeared back into the crowd. And then this horror happened, where Jesus said, who touched me? And she's like, surely he's not referring to me. I can't let people know that I've been in this crowd. And I certainly can't let
Let him know that me as an unclean woman touched him. Oh, no, it certainly wasn't. He's not referring to me. And everybody said, no, I didn't touch you. No, I didn't touch you. And Jesus said, somebody touched me. And Peter said, oh, Jesus, they've been bumping you and hitting against you, and you're asking who touched you? This is ridiculous, Jesus. Who touched me? But Jesus said, somebody touched me. And he turned around. And she thought she could get away, but now she had to tell the whole world what had happened. Oh, how embarrassing. And she just fell there at his feet. And she just poured out to him what had happened to her. And how she needed, she was unclean, and how she needed this, she was sick, and how she needed this healing. And she reached out and she touched his garment. And what was he going to say? What was he going to say to her? Was he going to rebuke her for what she had done? But she looked into his eyes, and the words that came out of her mouth was, what were the words that came out of her mouth? Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. And again, joy filled her heart from the healing, but also from the, it wasn't condemnation, but it was the healing of kind words and of acceptance of you can go in peace. Yeah. The condition was in Leviticus 5 verse 2, it says this, and if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be carcass of an unclean beast or a carcass of an unclean cattle or the carcass of an unclean creeping thing, or if it be hidden from him, he shall be unclean and guilty. And that was her condition. And you know, this problem of uncleanness that we have, that she had, that mankind has, you know, in Haggai, it raises this question. He says, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. So if you have this holy flesh, this meat that has been on the altar and has been set aside for God, and if it brush against a chair, or brush against something, does that make it the object holy? And he said, no. If one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and his skirt do brought to touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. And then he continues on. Then said Haggai, but if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. And so we see this problem of uncleanness. It's hard to correct it. Job asked this question in Job 14, verse 4. Who can bring a clean out of an unclean? And he says, not one. And so, you know, the woman had a problem with uncleanness. But it's not just the woman who has a problem with uncleanness. We have a problem with uncleanness as well. And this woman, she reached out to touch the hem of his garment, the border of his garment. Why? Well, it doesn't call it the hem of the garment here. It just says the border of the garment, but it uses that phrase in Matthew, where she touched the hem of the garment. And what he was referring to there, the hem of the garment, is that which was commanded by God in Numbers 15, verse 38, where God told Moses, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes on the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put upon the fringe the borders of the borders a ribbon of blue. Now, I am not familiar with this fringe on the borders of the garment. I'm not familiar with that. But God commanded them to do that on the fringes on the borders of their garments. And when I pictured in my mind, I picture tassels. And I don't know if how correct that is, but tassels, blue tassels on the four corners of your garment. Now, you don't have corners on your garment. And I don't know how they did or what they did, but they had this ribbon of blue on the corners of their garment. And that was the hem of their garment. And you know, the Pharisees, like Pharisees do, it's all right to rail on Pharisees, okay? We'll just assume there aren't any here and we'll all be safe, okay? But Pharisees, as Pharisees do, they not only put a fringe of blue on the corners of their garments, but listen to what Jesus says about them. But all their works they do to be seen of men, they make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, the hems of their garments. And so these tassels, they made big tassels. Because if a tassel is good, a big tassel is certainly much better. But Jesus was critical of them for that, because that became their holiness. And while they should wear a fringe of blue or a border on the hem of their garment, we know that holiness needs to run much deeper than that, doesn't it? Yes. It needs to run much deeper than that. And so, but she reached out and touched the hem of his garment. But why? Why did she reach out and touch the hem of his garment? Well, excuse me. The answer is found here in Malachi. In Malachi 4, verse 2. Let's read this verse here. It says, "But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow as the calves of the stall." Now, that word wings right there is the very same word that we ran across there in Numbers. The borders of your garment. It's the very same word. And you could also say with healing in his hem or healing in his fringe. The hem of his garment. And that's what she read. There would be healing in Messiah's hem. And she needed healing. And she heard that this Jesus had healing. And she said, if I touch the hem of his garment, there will be healing in his hem, healing in his wings. And that's why she reached out to him. And when she reached out and she touched the hem of his garment, that fringe of blue, she was healed. He was the Messiah. And there was healing in his wings, or healing in that hem. There was healing there. And we see she wasn't the only one that did this. In Matthew 14, verse 36, "And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole." There were many that reached out to try to touch the hem of his garment because there was healing in that hem. That's what the prophet had said. And they were made, yes, they were made perfectly whole. In Mark 6, it says, and verse 56, and whoso and whithersoever he entered into village or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made whole. In Luke 6, verse 19, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. We have Jesus who was able to heal us. And Jesus is able to heal us. Another side note about this hem of his garment. You know, when David was in that cave and hiding from Saul, and Saul came in there, and he and David reached out and he cut his garment. David cut the tassel off, the fringe off, the hem off. He cut the hem off. And that's why it smote him so bad, because he had cut off that which was it represented Saul's authority as well. And it just smote him that he cut off the hem of his garment, the fringe of his garment. That was the very same instance. This Jairus and this lady who was sick, they understood. They had desperation for healing. We need to understand our desperation for healing as well. And we see this desperation for healing for mankind. We see this in Isaiah 6, verse 5, when Isaiah is there before the Lord. And then as Isaiah is presented there before the Lord in this holy, 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 it was high and lifted up that the Lord was sitting upon his throne. Then Isaiah says, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And as Isaiah stood in the presence of the holy God, he didn't have to be told that he had unclean lips, but it was so powerfully pressed upon him that he was unclean. He realized his uncleanness. He realized his undoneness. And he said, woe is me, for I am undone, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in a people of unclean lips. Isaiah says later on in his book, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. I would like to read from Mark 7, verse 20 through 23. Yes, we have a problem with uncleanness, and it's hard. It sometimes is difficult for us to recognize it. And until we recognize it, we're not going to be desperate to touch the hem of his garment for healing. But here in Mark 7, verse 20, verse 223, and he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evils come from within, and they defile the man. Jesus saw the defilement of man. And I don't know if we want to meditate on what he says defiles us or not. But he didn't say these folks were wicked because they did all these things, but he says these things came out of their heart.
And that defiled them because it came out of their heart. Out of the heart proceed what? He said, evil thoughts. He says, that defiles a man. He says, adulteries come out of the heart. Do we have adulteries in our heart? Whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust, looketh upon a woman to lust after, he has committed adultery, Jesus said. That defiles a man. That defiles a man. Murders defile a man. How did Jesus define murder? Define murder as, if you hate your brother, you're a murderer. Yes. He says, covetousness. Covetousness defiles a man. Do we have covetousness in our hearts? He says, an evil eye. What is he referring to? I think it's referring to being stingy. Not sharing, but being stingy. Have you ever felt like being stingy? Like not wanting to share? Just when the Spirit urges you to reach out and you're like, I don't have anything left, Lord. I don't want to share. And then Paul says that you should show mercy with cheerfulness. You're like, what? Just let me show mercy, but don't make me be cheerful about it. But yes, he says show mercy with cheerfulness. And so we find that Jesus said, these things come out of the heart of man and they defile a man. Yes. It wasn't just that woman that had an issue of blood for 12 years that was unclean. We also are unclean. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips, and I need cleansing for my uncleanness. I need cleansing for my uncleanness. Who can bring a clean out of an unclean? Not one, Job says. And so, understanding who can cleanse us. I like those verses in Zechariah 13, verse 1. It says, in that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. That's what it says. For sin and for uncleanness. And that uncleanness that is in our hearts, there's a fountain open. And what do fountains do? Waters gush out, and you can find cleansing there at that fountain. There is a fountain open to the house of David and the temple of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. There is a way where we can find cleansing for her uncleanness. In Ezekiel 36, verse 24, it says, And I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols, I will cleanse you. There is a way where we, in our defiled condition, can be cleansed. And we the ruler. And we, like the woman with the issue of blood, need to be desperate for that cleansing. And then reaching out, we can find that cleansing through Jesus Christ. There was Isaiah before the king. And he laid it upon my mouth, and he said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. And thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. That coal from the altar that touched his unclean lips. He says, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. There's cleanness. There's cleansing for us, for all of us unclean ones.
And that cleansing is found in the hem of his garment. That cleansing is found by the coal from the altar. That cleansing is found through the Messiah, is found through Jesus Christ. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. If we say, oh, he's preaching to somebody else, some other, some unclean person. No, no. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is so wonderful. You know, you confess your sins, and then you don't have to go over, you know, but did I confess them all? Did I possibly miss one? Is there something I overlooked? And, you know, and it's right to examine your heart. I'm not saying don't examine your heart, but you confess the sins that you know, but then he cleanses you from all unrighteousness. And we can rest in that. We don't have to say, well, I wonder if perhaps I missed a sin somewhere. He didn't miss a sin. If we confess our sins, if we confess our sins. In Colossians 1, verse 21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your minds by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. He is the one that can present us not unclean, but holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. And so let's reach out to him. And let's reach out to him. By faith, reach out to him, touching his hem in desperation for cleansing again and again. By prayer, reaching out to him. By searching the scriptures, reaching out to him and seeking after him for immediate cleansing, for immediate healing, and for resurrection from the dead when we follow him. And like Paul says there in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 17. Yes. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and, touch not the unclean thing, and I will be a father unto you. Beautiful words. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And so we don't reach out and touch that unclean thing. There were many who reached out to Jesus and found cleansing, reached out and touched him. That thief on the cross, he reached, over a cross, and he touched Messiah. No, his hands were still on the cross. But his heart reached over, and he touched. He touched the hem of his garment, and he found cleansing. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What cleansing! How defiled that thief was! But what cleansing there was, where he could say, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Zacchaeus reached out and touched him, and he said, this today is salvation come to this house, for he also is a son of Abraham. There was healing there for Zacchaeus. Thomas reached out and touched him. Did he actually touch the wound in his side? I don't know if he did or not. But he reached out and touched him, and he found cleansing, and he said, my Lord and my God. Yes. The woman in Simon's house, as she wept there, and Simon was
looking at her with disgust and disdain, and she was weeping and washing Jesus' feet and with her tears. And Jesus, she touched him. She reached out to him, and Jesus turned around and looked at her with compassion. And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And that was what was aching in her heart. Those sins were mounted up to heaven, and she wanted cleansing for her sins, and she wept there, and she found that cleansing that only Jesus can give. And we need to find that cleansing as well. How to get that touch of cleansing? We need to repent of our sins. And then Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And again, Paul's words in Acts 26, verse 20, "But showed first unto them at Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." That's what he preached. And when we repent, when we come with tears in our eyes, and we reach out for that cleansing and touch him, he cleanses us. And the cleansing is complete. Our manner of life is not necessarily whole. We turn away from the unclean thing. We add to our faith. We pursue righteousness. Yes, but the cleansing he gives is complete. It is like Isaiah says, "White as snow. Though your sins be crimson, they shall be white as snow." It is something that cannot be bought. It's free. It's for those who love him. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation," from James 1, verse 12. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." We love him. Oh, our love is not perfect, but we love him. And we want to love him more. Jesus, there in our passage in Luke 8, he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And this morning, I want to ask that question as well. Have you touched him? There were many, many who touched him that day, but they weren't cleansed. They knew him. They knew who he was. Yes, they could tell a lot about God and about the scriptures. And they bumped against him and they jostled against him. And they liked to hear his words, but they hadn't touched him. The woman touched him. And I ask you, have you touched him? You jostle up against him. You know his name. You like to hear his words. But have you touched him? Have you been unclean? Are you unclean? And have you reached out and let that healing, that virtue, that strength go out of him and heal you? Yes. We need that cleansing. And if we don't reach out and touch him, we cannot be cleansed. Only he can cleanse us, but he can make us perfectly clean. Oh, what wonderful redemption. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. Oh, that's wonderful. That wicked one cannot reach out and touch us. He cannot claim us. He cannot, we are protected.
be with the cleansing of Jesus Christ, and he cannot, the wicked one cannot touch us. Yes, the wicked one toucheth him not. When we run to him for refuge, when we run to him for cleansing, when we run to him as our Messiah and as our Lord, the wicked one cannot touch us. Oh, so grand, oh, so wonderful. And now, I want to read from Revelation 1. Verse 12 through 17. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the path with a golden girdle. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Wow! What a being! What a magnificent being! What glory, what honor, what unbelievable power! His voice was as the sound of many waters. And I can just hear Niagara Falls and that boom! His voice was just, and his glory and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. Greater than any one of us by a magnitude of, I don't know if I can put a number on it. And you know, that was Jesus, is Jesus. The next verse says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his hand upon me. This magnificent being reached out and touched John. And then he said these wonderful words. Fear not. Wonderful. Wonderful. He says, fear not. Thy sins are forgiven. Go in peace. Fear not. Oh, he accepts us. I am the first and the last. He touches us. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Oh, it's so wonderful that he reached out and he touched me. Yes. We were at her funeral the other day, Lena Carpenter's funeral. She was 92. She had become frail, weak. Just, it's embarrassing to die. We are so needy. We are so needy. We are so desperate for needing help. But Sister Lena had reached out and touched him for cleansing and for healing, something she could not do herself. And that touching and that healing makes all the difference when we cross the river. Let's kneel for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you on bended knees, mankind desperate for cleansing, desperate for healing. And oh, there was no light until you sent the light of your Son. And there was no cleansing until you sent the cleansing of your son, and there was healing in his wings. Heavenly Father, you let us reach out and touch you, and then you healed us of all our sicknesses, of all our diseases, of all our uncleanness, and you made us whole. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Thank you, Lord, for cleansing us. Thank you, Lord, for being a way where we can be healed. And thank you, Lord, that you're willing to reach out and touch us and embrace us. And we can be your sons and daughters. Thank you, Lord, for that. Our Heavenly Father, continue to teach us what is unclean. And oh, that we would separate ourselves from that. And we would touch not the unclean thing. And we would be a people separated unto you. Thank you, Lord, for all you are doing. Thank you, Lord, for hope in this world. Thank you, Lord, for hope beyond this world to glory in the world to come. Through Jesus Christ. And in his name we pray. Amen.